BlakeRadio.com.
You're listening to the Dating Advice Girl Radio Show on 99.3 KCLA FM, your source for dating advice in Los Angeles.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Girl here on 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles. That is right. We are back. We are so back. I know I said we were back a few weeks ago, but we're actually really back now. For real. Back in it. It's a little Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation old school style, which is very fitting for this episode and the upcoming episodes of the show. I've been working on a really amazing project I'm super, super proud of that basically is going to cross different themes of dating, of course, but also race, age, religion, ethnicity, lifestyle, sexuality, gender, so many things. Basically what I'm doing is, some of you might have seen that I had a casting notice up on my website and on my social media platforms a little bit ago, asking for people of different ethnicities and age groups, like millennials and things, to talk about dating. So I got some really great submissions. Thank you to everybody who submitted or applied to be a part of this. You know, I only had this first round of interviews that I did, I only had a certain amount of time to do it and a certain amount of time slots to do them in. So I didn't get to interview everyone I wanted to, but there's going to be more interviews later. Let me just put this out there, first of all, too. If you like what you're about to hear, which I can't imagine that you wouldn't because it's pretty powerful, if you want to be a part of the interview series for the second round of interviews, email me at info@thedatingadvicegirl.com, or you can message me on Facebook or Twitter, just send me a message, and I'll add you to our next interview groups. So basically, this episode is going to be our first round of interviews. This is the multi-ethnic men and women group, okay? So basically what's going to happen from now and this show and the next few shows is that I basically sat down for about a half hour with different groups of people and asked them questions about dating based on their group. So this first group is multicultural, so dating based on these fine people being multi-ethnic. You know, what are their experiences? You know, what is it like for them dating being multi-ethnic? What are some challenges? What are some perks? You know, I also asked every group about consent, sexual consent, and if they actually learned that in school or if they learned it from parents and friends or how they learned it. Because it's funny because I'm learning that there seems to be a big generational difference between where people learn consent or if they even learned it at all. This seems like age is a really big factor. Millennials have learned more about it than, say, you know, Gen X, Gen Y, baby boomers, etc. So I wanted to explore that as well. So this first group is multi-ethnic group. Just really quick before we start, because I want to make sure we get through all of this. This project is a passion project for me. You know, with everything going on in the world right now, I just felt like, you know, I wanted to use my platform to do something positive and put something positive out there. Where you actually hear from people from different groups rather than us making assumptions about things, you know, that we feel like a certain group does or how they think or how a certain group acts. I'm like, you know what, let me just do what I can to hear, so I and you can hear from the actual people, hear their experiences, so we can stop making stereotypes and actually start being like, oh, this person's experiences are this, and I know that because this actual person from that group is telling me what their experience is. So this project is based on inclusiveness. It's also very fun. It does get kind of emotional for some of the people participating. I hope you enjoy this. You know, please spread the love, and please, you know, share this with friends and other groups, Facebook groups, or, you know, please just share the crap out of this, because I think if there's anything we can all agree upon is that we need more understanding and compassion and more conversations about just so we have an understanding about each other rather than making assumptions. And it just makes our world a better place and a smaller place if we're like, oh, yeah, I did meet someone who is, you know, a black person, a white person, a transgender person, a Muslim person, a Christian person, white person, whatever it is, okay? So let's just get on with it. This is the first group that I interviewed, and this is the multiracial group. The participants, their names are Daniel, Tony, Sam, Adrian, and Tasha. And here we go. Enjoy. They have a lot of really amazing, interesting things to say, so I hope you enjoy it. And thank you to all of these participants for participating.
Daniel.
Tony.
Sam.
Adrian.
Tasha.
Sir.
So, pick one word to describe what dating means to you.
Difficult.
Chemistry.
Fun.
I'd go with self-discovery. Sounds a little egomaniacal, but I think that's sort of what I've learned from it.
I'm a German.
Oh, fun. Okay, so did you learn about consent growing up, and if so, from where? From parents, sex ed, friends, or peers?
My mother. Hardcore. Definitely.
I never did.
Yeah.
No. I mean, we had sex ed, but we didn't, it wasn't, you know, I didn't learn about that.
I don't think I learned actually consent, but I also learned to be aware of yourself. Like, always know what you want, what you don't want, and be outspoken about it.
Yeah. I think it definitely wasn't touched on enough in sex ed. For me, like, with my Hispanic side, one side of the family, it was like, I guess, and like Irish on the other side and all Catholic was like, you know, just stay away from it. So I guess there wasn't much talked about.
I picked it up somewhere in the Midwest, and somehow the transfer to out here, I usually get made fun of for being too much taking everybody at their word and being, people are like, oh, did you want me to sign a consent form or something? Because you're just like being a little too respectful almost. But I guess that's more of a Midwest thing than a race thing.
Yeah, I mean, with everything that my mom taught me, I was just really empowered, and I was taught that it was up to me, and my mom had told me stories about how guys had overstepped when she was in high school, and she always met that head on. She didn't really allow for it to happen. So as someone who really believes in equality of the sexes, and I have that strong, empowering background, I've definitely asked guys before, like, is this okay? Because sometimes you have to check. Doesn't matter.
I think for me, I remember when I was in sex ed, I think that they were really hyper-focused on age and, you know, not having sex before a certain age or, you know, protection or STDs. They didn't really touch on saying no because of morals and values and things like that. It was just kind of like black and white. It was either like yes or no. They didn't really say that, yes, the woman has power, or yes, you have the ability to, you know, be in control of your own destiny type deal. Like, I didn't really feel like they touched on that so much.
I don't think they did, but my mom taught me. She was very much like, she didn't think I wasn't going to have teenage sex, which I don't know if that's good or bad. She's like a professor and stuff, so she's a realist. So she basically was like, responsibility. Always have responsibility. If you're going to have sex, let me know. We'll figure it out. Like, so I guess that's where I had the empowerment. But in health class, like, there's nobody
like
a, said right? anything.
Like, there's almost like a sense of guilt that came with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, you're having sex. Like, and it's that's
and they
what it's supposed to be like
definitely.
That. Yeah, yeah. Agree.
To buy the book, maybe, like, the classes, the sex ed classes, like a list they had to go through and not, like realistic things to teach us.
And I think, and realistically, what they do, not that this is right or wrong, but when you think about consent as a kid, you kind of, like, girls are like, oh, I kind of have to do this. Not like you have to, not like you're not empowered, because I feel like you guys are, but you're like, I'm in this weird position. I mean, do I do it, or do I not do it, or is this right or wrong? I don't know, I think it's a lot of questions when you're younger, you aren't taught how much power you have in saying yes or no.
Yeah. I think a lot of times also, though, like coming from I come from a blended family, so my dad's Hispanic, my mom's English, German, Irish, and the values between both parents were really different. My dad was, you're not dating until you're 18, you know, there's some, you have a chaperone. My mom was much more relaxed, and so there was, like, what I would consider maybe, like, a conflict of interest. So, like, you had guilt on one end, because you didn't feel like you should be going out and dating, and then there was the realism of the idea that you're probably going to do it. Yeah.
I had the same thing, except for mother and father.
My dad didn't want to hear about it. That's the Catholic side.
Yeah.
No, Catholic, Islander, like, don't, I can't hear it.
That was the thing, like, sweep it all underneath the rug, like, because it shouldn't be talked about, you know?
My dad definitely stayed hands off. He's the Italian Catholic, I guess, which is Roman Catholic, but... but yeah, he didn't want to know, and I wasn't sure if it was a Catholic thing or if it was a gender thing, because when it got to that point where my mom was like, you know, maybe you should take, like, one of those moral oaths where you, like, swear in front of God and everybody that you're not going to have sex before marriage. And my father had a very realistic reaction. He was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, no way, you know? And I saw a lot of hypocrisy in things that my mother preached, but she definitely always gave me the power to say no in whatever way it needed to be.
Is there a stereotype or assumption that people make about you in regards to dating? Because you are multi-ethnic, all of you. Tell us more.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, you know, sometimes I think I approach people and they don't know that I'm half Hispanic. And as soon as the Hispanic side comes out, I've noticed, like, you know, people will be very careful where they tread. And I that's just been, that's been my experience.
No. No? I mean, yes, but no. People are super bold. So I'm Italian and, like, Afro-Caribbean mix, and I often get mistaken for Latina, which is totally great. Like, I've never had a problem with that. But they always expect me to be, like, this fiery, like, ooh, yeah. And then also, it's kind of like when you ask somebody's, like, what their dog's mix is, right? So a lot of times we'll be like, oh, that's such a hot mix. And I'm like, am I the spicy Chex mix all of a sudden? Like, you need to chill out. And then, you know, when they do find out that I'm Black and Italian, they expect, you know, good fellas, loud, emotional, you know, like, really very Hollywood stylized depiction of me. And then, you know, the second I use AABE, I'm too much. And it's like, oh, God, I have to kill all of you. That's me.
I get it a lot because nobody ever knows what my mix is. So either I'm Filipino, I'm Native American, and I'm Jewish German. So I have a little bit of everything going on, but everybody thinks I'm everything from Latin to Black to Native American to everything, never Filipino. Like, that one never makes the mix. But when I date, since they can't figure me out, I'm from the South, I'm from an urbaner area, like, they make all these assumptions. Like, if I'm dating a white guy, Black guys will be like, what are you doing dating a white guy? That's ridiculous. If I'm dating a Latin guy, they're like, but why would you? It's like every time I will date someone, and I've had boyfriends, because I've dated every race, who will tell me that the opposite race, or just a different race, will make a comment to them. And I'm really surprised by that. And they, like, so every time I pick somebody, they're like, what are you doing with that? Like, I have yet to pick someone where everybody was like, oh, that totally makes
that
sense.
Yeah.
I think it might be more exacerbated, too, with apps and things now, because you can get exactly what you want. There's an infinite amount of possibilities. So I've found that there's more people that are like, oh, well, I was looking for a white guy or whatever, you know. And it's like, I think I'm pretty much passed for white, but... The most interesting thing that was ever said to me was actually somebody that I wasn't on a date with, but this black guy in Oakland, he just came over and he's like, hey, are you black or are you Mexican? Like, I just gotta ask. And I was like, well, I'm neither. I explained to him, like, what a quadrant was. I'm mostly white, but not quite. And he said, damn, that ain't nothing to nobody. And I thought that was really funny, because it kind of has it all. It's like, almost, but not quite anything enough for one thing.
Wow. That ain't nothing to... Now, I never get offended by mixed questions, because I have to ask everybody, but that ain't nothing to nobody. What?
It means it's like, it's not quite white enough, and it's not quite... Like, if you went... People that were really into whiteness, they would not accept you, and people that are really into blackness,
yes,
they're not going to accept
that's
you.
That's right. That would be the one time I would be like, what? It's like this gray area. It's a gray area.
That's okay. You can be in our group.
Yikes. I also think there's sometimes when... They say, oh, you know, she's Latin. Oh, she's like, she's cute and she's sexy. And then as soon as they say, oh, she's Mexican, it's like, ooh, she's probably poor and dirty. Do you know what I mean? But it's the truth. It's the truth. And so there's a negative stigma behind what I identify with. Yeah.
Well, just saying I'm Latin, you know, to everyone sounds sincere.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, I'm a Latina. You know?
Or you're from South America.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, you're from the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And that there's something like really, you know, profound, like really
exotic
about it. And then, you know, there's definitely like a, you know,
a class thing that comes
totally.
Out.
Yeah.
It is a class thing that people will definitely say. If I say Filipino, they're first like, what?
Yeah.
But that's a class thing. Like, my family actually moved out of California originally because my dad was Filipino and they wouldn't accept him. So
yeah.
We had to go across the country to be Mexican.
Yeah.
So, I guess Mexican's fine, I guess.
I've also noticed that people who are making those comments, for the most part, have always been just as uneducated as the people that they're making comments about. Do you know what I mean? I think it's also just kind of like a lack of education and a lack of
ignorance.
Ignorance, yeah.
Not lack of, but full of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I was in a really strict household, and so when I was able to go on AIM, or if I was able
AIM.
To, yeah, there was even like that gaming website where there was a chat room, and you could be in like the teenage chat room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're able to talk to people, and inevitably you're talking to someone, you start to jive, even through the internet, they'll take it to private, and they'll be like, hey, what's your deal? Tell me ASL, right? You guys remember ASL? Okay. So we'd say, like, oh, I'm 13. And I'm in New York and I'm a girl and whatever, and they'd be like, oh great, and then somehow mix or what your race is would come up, because even behind a computer,
yeah,
people fucking care what color you are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Can't keep talking to you if it doesn't mesh with my ideals. And it's just hearing or seeing the word exotic, it's like, oh, you feel like a special bird that some really rich guy had nothing better to do than pay thousands and thousands of dollars to ship over for his fucking enjoyment. It's just, I get a little heated, I'm sorry.
You too.
That's the fiery Italian in me, I guess.
I'm the opposite. I ask everybody that I'm mixed. I don't care. Because I date mixes, so I like it. I want to know, like, if you're black, if you're Mexican, if you're all together. I love it because the cultures are very different, and they shouldn't, like... You can see when I date someone who's mixed, I can understand both sides. Like you said, you're Italian and black.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two cultures mixing together, and it makes someone an individual. So I always ask. I mean, I understand where you're coming from,
well,
but I'm always like, what are you?
But there's a difference between you really wanting to know because you want to connect with me, and you wanting to know because you want to fetishize me. So there is a difference between...
Yeah, it's being like labeled exotic.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like I'm just ripe for the plickin'. I hate it.
Persian
that's
people.
What people
they always think I'm Persian.
Oh.
And they're very, very open and welcoming, like, oh, are you Persian? I say no, and all of a sudden we're not friends anymore.
Oh.
I get it a lot in Hollywood because I go under the radar. I get everybody thinks I'm half black a lot of times, and if I've said that I'm not if I've said I'm not half black, it's kind of a reverse thing, and I'm like, but I'm Islander, like, or Latin, black and Latin, they'll both be like, are you sure, are you, and it's sometimes it's hurtful, it kind of like puts you to the side, because I'm like, oh my god, it really is hurtful, because they put you on the side, they will accept you, you're not enough, but not white enough.
Anybody else want to add to that?
I think none of us are white enough up here.
Oh, God, no.
I was never black enough either, though. Never black enough.
Did you feel similar?
I don't feel similarly because my parents did a really good job of making me always feel comfortable wherever I was, right? So whether I was at an Italian Sunday dinner or the curry goat cookout, like, it didn't matter. I was there and I was family. And, you know, when you're the baby that brings two cultures together, the first one, there might still be adversity, but love brings people together. So within my upbringing, I was given that sort of understanding of, you're not one or the other, you're you, and that's great. And so as I got older, I became more aware of how maybe black people wouldn't sit with me at lunch until one black person showed them I wasn't so white, or all of the white people would be like, yeah, this is our black friend, except she doesn't listen to hip-hop or rap. Yeah. Like, it got really interesting, and I took like an observer instead of like a victim sort of mindset, because it was fascinating to me. And it wasn't, when I started dating in college and after college, I did notice that the guys that were into black girls were into me, until I wasn't black enough. Or the white guys were like, oh yeah, I'm not sure, I've never dated a black girl before, but they understand that that's a culture that I was raised in, so I've had to just find acceptance in that fluidity and just be discerning with who I spend my time with.
I think where it gets sensitive, sorry about that.
It gets sensitive with me because you are black and Italian. You're races that people recognize. It's just Native American.
Oh, so hard.
Dude,
there's
nobody
a stigma
recognizes.
Behind it.
Yeah, and like Filipino, and then to have light eyes and stuff, it's like, I'm not even these two races that I'm not enough of to be accepted. You know, I'm like, I'm not even in that. I mean, I understand, like, I feel like there's certain similar cultures, especially with the Filipino side, but it's like, I'm not even in the mix with the two major ones that people think I am. And that's what gets hard. Sorry about that. It's so dramatic.
Hollywood's hard too.
Yeah, Hollywood's really hard.
As a town, as an industry,
with
it's really
business,
hard.
Business, trying to do business endeavors and trying to secure business partners and stuff, people doubt your ability to overcome your ethnicity.
Absolutely.
Or like for different roles too.
Yeah.
It's like if like someone will call me in for to play like a white girl, but my last name's Gomez, so they don't want to hire me, and the people are like, but she's, why is like this Hispanic girl playing a white girl? But then they can't bring me in as a Hispanic girl, and they're like, oh, they just hired this light skin.
Yeah,
like
she's
a
little
Hispanic girl.
So it's
like, what does it even mean to be like a black person or a Filipino person or a white person? It's like, where do you think people get the box of definition?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Like, what does that even mean? I don't know what it means.
I think it's kind of what you self-identify with, right?
Exactly.
Like, I think it's...
Well, I mean, as far as someone else coming to you and say, oh, like, I thought you were white, you're not it, so I don't want to, like... That's where this question is. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's a lot of the personality. And it's also where I feel like where you grew up and where the people you were surrounded with, I was always, like, the true story, because of my mixes, I didn't know the difference between race until I got older and moved to the South. And then I realized that there were different ones, but literally black people, I thought, had tans. I have a half black cousin, I had no idea. So it's like, I didn't know what they were picking up on when they kept saying, you're different, and I'm like, how? So it wasn't until I got older that maybe I thought it was like the influence of my friends that were around me and the people that I was around. And I picked up, not personality traits, but I guess inspirations from just the people around me that I thought was interesting about them. And ironically, like, I grew up in a Greek and Italian neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what they're saying or why they're saying, oh, I think you're a black girl, or I think you're Hispanic. I don't know why that is. It's just they're picking it up, and I'm like, oh, well, why can't I be me? Why can't I be these, what I actually am? Why can't I show that influence? I don't even know how to outwardly put that out because I don't know the difference.
I think it's a lot of people try to put people in boxes. And
as soon as you don't fit in a box, it's like, oh, people get nervous and they get anxious, you know? And so it's easier to kind of try to and stereotype somebody so they fit in a box in your mind.
But you also have to put yourself in the box as well. Yeah. There is what people perceive you as, and then there's also what you self-identify with. And I think everybody, even if you were like 100% Chinese, the most Chinese person that ever lived, you still have to identify as Chinese. And there is a certain giving up of a slight amount of yourself to identify too much with the thing that you're putting yourself in the box for. And so, in some ways, we have kind of an advantage, I think, because it's probably easier for a lot of us to not overly identify into...
We're like chameleons.
Yeah.
We like, you know...
Yeah.
We see colors when we need to.
Some of us feel like we're really losing ourselves in that sort of non-branding.
Right. Especially in this age when branding is like
the most important thing. Yeah. Everything.
But I wish it didn't have to be. It's like I like things from everybody's culture. I like hairdos, outfits, whatever, music, whatever. It's just, I feel like mixed people, we enjoy a lot more, maybe because we are chameleons, we can freely like listen or participate in whatever, and I just wish more people felt more free to do that, especially when it comes to dating, because then it would free you up to meet so many different people. Like, I mean, I don't adore every guy I ever dated, but I found some interesting traits, and then, like, every different ethnic has their own thing going on, different, it's fun.
I mean, I think that all of it comes from stereotypes that either they've heard, seen, or experienced, right? So, like Tasha was just saying, if you date somebody and they're acting a specific way, you're going to generalize, and not necessarily out of malice, but for self-preservation, so that you know what you're getting yourself into next time around. And so I went to a private liberal arts college, and there were lots of white guys. And so I dated lots of white guys, and they weren't just like your average everyday, oh, this guy lives near me. It was like guys whose parents had six, like almost seven-figure incomes happening, and I was the poor black girl for the first time ever in my life, right? Because being Italian and black and being in a nice suburb in New Jersey and going to ballet class and doing all of these things that are typically white, like really typically white. I was one half of one and a half black girls in ballet until she quit. And it was just me. And so, even when it came to dating, I have dated guys who were not low-key racist against my race and would say, quote, you don't count.
What?
Yeah, it's happened.
That's a really great phrase you bring up, low-key racist.
Low-key racist.
A lot of people, even people who are making, like, ethnic, you know, stereotypes or low-key racism, they don't think that they're doing it, but they are. Like,
I've never even heard that, but I guess
it makes sense. Like, the other day, the other day, I was in my apartment complex, and you know, somebody got mad that the smoke detector was going off, and she goes, oh, I'm sure it was the Mexican who came over and didn't do it. Like, that is low-key racism. Yeah. That is low-key racism.
Where are people?
It's the stereotype that you said, for whatever, and then she goes, oh my god, I feel so bad that I said that. Well, it's still your perception. It's still what you view as, you know, somebody who's beneath you.
I can't believe someone would say that to either one of you.
I think it slipped out. It did. I mean, it wasn't anything that she meant say. It was something that she slipped out, and it slipped out. And then she goes in and she apologized to me because I was in the room. She goes, oh my god, I'm so sorry. She's like, I totally forget that you're, and I'm like, but I am.
But if you weren't there, she wouldn't have apologized at all.
Of course not.
She wouldn't have even thought twice about it.
And like, that's the other thing is, oh, I forget. As if it would be okay if I wasn't Hispanic or if I wasn't a Mexican girl for her to say something like that.
But I feel like neither of those things were very low key.
Something like that, you know, like when a smoke detector's going off and somebody's like upset and like trying to turn the smoke detector off. It's pretty low key.
It could have been the S word.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Never
it's
just
like ever say though. Yeah. I mean, that's not even low key. That's just like, who says that?
All right. So there you go. That's round one of the interviews. Pretty powerful, right? I mean, you could tell some of the girls got a little choked up during the interview process. So I did video on this as well. Stay tuned for the video that I'm going, still editing, but that should be up as well, so you can actually see the people who are you know, confiding and sharing with all of us. I think that it's very powerful to have a visual when talking about these kind of things, because it makes people, and it's not just this person's voice I'm hearing. But of course, because I have a radio show, I wanted to do the audio here so you could hear it, which is actually pretty powerful to hear people's voices too. But the video will be up, and you'll be able to see that too, so you can see who you're listening to. Again, thank you to everyone who participated in this first round of interviews. We have I think 4 or 5 more rounds of interviews that I'll be playing over the next few weeks. And yeah, you guys, just again, it would really mean a lot to me if you would share the crap out of this. Because again, I'm just trying to do my part to put something positive out there that's going to start a conversation, you know, so that we can just start talking to each other about our experiences again, rather than assuming that we know what someone's experience is. You know, that's the point of all of this. And it's so interesting, isn't it? Isn't it interesting to hear people's dating experiences and experiences around consent and all of these things? It's so, so interesting to me to hear everyone's experiences, because in some ways they're very similar to mine, and I'm sure they're similar to yours, but in some ways it is very different. And so again, it's just to hear people's experiences and have that level of understanding, or some level of understanding about someone else who's different than us, I think is super important and fascinating and entertaining and just, you know, interesting at the least. So there you go, you guys. Thanks for tuning in. I'm so happy to be back, and I'm so happy to be back with this content to share with you. So you guys, I will see you next time with some more amazing interviews. Like I said, we have a millennial female group. We have a millennial men group. We've got a whole Indian American group, Caucasian men group. I mean, it's, you know, Gen X group. Anyway, it's going to be great. Stay tuned for that. But until then, I am the Dating Advice Girl for 99.3 KCLA FM in Los Angeles. I will see you guys soon. Take care of each other.